Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I sit here contending with this cheese on toast, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Entertaining scenes at Anfield and the Etihad. But Jack Grealish got a bollocking. It's Thursday, 16th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushan Hadaraja.
Welcome, one and all, to a thrilling Thursday. My goodness, the Champions League was good to us last night, wasn't it, Andy? Wasn't it?
It really was. I was doing co-commentary on Liverpool-Milan whilst watching the other games on various other devices, and
is
I
that unprofessional? Or is that a dereliction of duties?
Or is it ultra professional?
I was actually asking Vish to comment on your commentary
as the arbiter of unprofessionalism. I deem this unprofessional.
Oh,
Andy.
No.
Look, if I was playing centre-back for Milan, you would have a point.
I would, very much, yeah.
At times it did seem like they were watching a different game.
Yeah, it did.
It was another classic between these two heavyweight European giants, you would say. Off the top of my head, I think Milan and Liverpool, are they the second and third most successful teams in the competition's history, counting the European Cup?
Seven and six, yeah.
Real Madrid away ahead with, 13 now, something like that? Mm. So these are two big sides who'd only played each other in the final. And this game didn't disappoint, did it, Andy? Because you were commentating on this one and watched every minute.
On what I saw,
Outrageous.
It was excellent.
Yes.
And Liverpool were excellent. And the score doesn't really tell the story. If Milan had gone in at half time 3 or 4 nil down, they really couldn't have complained.
No, it was outrageous that they were 2-1 up.
It was proper sort of old school Liverpool at Anfield swarming a team in the first half. It was just irresistible. They were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I can't have been the only person who watched that and thought Cafu as the king of right backs who dominate football games and with the Milan connection must have been watching Trent Alexander-Arnold and thinking, that's my boy.
My boy. Oh, big time. I thought you were going to say slight comparisons of Istanbul, the way Milan suddenly just pulled it out of the bag. And
But maybe
the first time Milan have been in the Champions League since 2014, Vish.
I know, yeah.
Have we missed them?
I think we have. I think it's been interesting watching Serie A over the last few years and realising that because the kit is so iconic, you're like, God, why have we seen that more often?
Yeah.
And obviously, they've like totally revamped their kit this year when they're in the Champions League.
Yeah, annoying that.
Which is a bit annoying. But,
it's not all in vogue, though.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Everyone's doing all sorts now with their kit.
Yeah.
The thing I liked yesterday was, you know, you were right, they should have been out of sight by half-time. It was sometimes at points during that game, the start of the first half, the start of the second half, it was like Milan were on a treadmill and Liverpool on the side just constantly putting the pace up. Like, we're going quicker now.
Ooh, like it.
And they couldn't live with them, could they? But then that little bit at the you know, the end of the first half, Rebic's smart little pass inside for that second.
Lovely.
I really like that. Obviously, he doesn't get the assist because Diaz kind of slides it in.
You're
on the line.
On the line, yeah.
But the I did think watching that though, and I watched the highlights afterwards, that if you look at that group, they've got to fancy their chances coming out of that. I know. So they've got Atletico Madrid and Porto, who were like on a point each now.
What, Milan have fancied their chances?
I don't know.
Liverpool and Atletico are the favourites.
Yeah, but as in like of sneaking something through there. Because I wondered if they go into that group and think, fuck, we could finish bottom here.
I think that's the thing. You look at that group and any of those four teams has a right to believe that they can go through.
Mm. Are Liverpool the best team in that group?
Yeah, right? without a doubt.
They are, but they nearly didn't win a game that they dominated from start to finish. Which is remarkable.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but come on.
And theoretically, at least according to the coefficients, etc., Milan, the weakest team in the group. They've not played in the Champions League, as you say, since 2014. Most of those players have never played in the Champions League before. Mm-hmm. They come out of pot four, even if they're clearly the best pot four side in the competition. I think it's about realigning perceptions in this group. Because as you say, Liverpool and Atletico should come out of the group, yes. Especially with what they've done in the competition in the last decade. But everyone defines Liverpool by 2018 and 2019, just like everyone defines Atletico by 2014 and 2016. Now, with my several eyes, I was also watching Atletico versus Porto. Porto should have won that.
Mm-hmm.
And Atletico created very little, despite having the ability to bring on Antoine Griezmann for Joao Felix after an hour. Quite a booing he got, actually, Griezmann, when he came on, which was quite interesting. But the thing is, Atletico haven't beaten anyone decent in the Champions League for a while now.
Well,
the
only since Liverpool.
The only team of substance, and they lost that game in normal time, didn't they? So I think if you go back and look at last season, the only team they beat of anywhere near substance was Salzburg, who are hardly Champions League perennials yet. So this generation, we think of it as being one long, successful Champions League, Diego Simeone generation. The team now is completely different to the 2014 and 2016 team. And this current team have done nothing in Europe. So Milan have a right to believe. And, you know, you look at them, they were getting absolutely battered last night and they never quit. They never gave up on it. Porto, very combative. There are twists to come in this group. There's no doubt about it.
Sure, no, of course there'll be a twist and all, but I can't see Liverpool not going through. And I think that even Atletico last season, obviously they won the league, but they and fair play to them, took advantage. They just got there in the end of Barcelona and Real Madrid, obviously sort of struggling and whatnot. I know Liverpool last season, you know, Klopp said it last season, if we finish in the top four, that'll be a good season for us. They look rejuvenated this season. They've obviously got big players back from injuries and so on. Joe Gomez starting, huge plus for him. And a huge plus for the club as well. The first half, there was a couple of moments and all, but second half, he was decent. So I honestly think that this is going to be a big season for Liverpool.
Yeah, it does feel like that as well. Mm. Even little things like the way Fabinho played yesterday, obviously having to play a large chunk of last season at centre-back, you realised, I think you see how he played in there, and you see obviously they, you know, Thiago hasn't quite worked out as planned, but you can see what Klopp was thinking in building like an absurdly dominant midfield.
Yes. Obviously, he's getting there, Thiago, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It definitely feels like that, yeah. It was interesting.
How many
though,
seasons does he need to warm up? He's getting there. Give him another few.
It depends how long he takes to play a season's worth of games, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always been the issue with him.
Yeah.
The one thing I did find interesting yesterday was Jordan Henderson obviously getting the winner.
Oh, Steven Gerrard-esque, wasn't it?
It was a little bit that. But the interesting thing I think about Jordan Henderson, I might get pelters for this, but I've thought about it for a while. I think those games suit him really well because he's incredibly energetic, reads the game very well.
Loves the big occasion.
Very good at pressing. But I think every now and again, I think if Fabinho wasn't next to him, I think you saw a few times yesterday that his distribution isn't really up to scratch, certainly at the pace that Liverpool play at and were playing at yesterday. And I thought it was nice for him to get that moment, rather, you know, to get the winner. But I do wonder if... you know, what the next stage is. Because obviously now with Harvey Elliott's injury and stuff like that, he's going to, I'm not saying that he was ever going to be at risk of being dropped this season, but it does seem that for Liverpool to be at their best, everyone needs to be in sync in that way. Like, I thought it was remarkable yesterday that a couple of times that Trent Alexander-Arnold was caught out of possession, Mo Salah was back there.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was one of Salah's most... one of his better all-round games, and obviously there are a lot of games we can throw into that.
He had a huge part of the first half, didn't he?
Yeah.
Basically bringing defenders with him and creating the space for Alexander-Arnold. And not just creating the space, but being able to play the balls behind. I mean, so much of that, Alexander-Arnold's runs meant he just went through completely unopposed, and the Tomorian goal was quite a good example of that. But going back to your point on Henderson, Vish, I just wonder if he turns into their next James Milner figure after James Milner. I could see him doing that. Someone who can fill in everywhere. But you're right. When they zip it around really quickly, it requires a certain sort of something. And Milan, they were knackered. They were totally out of breath. And that's why they didn't have enough in the tank to really take it to Liverpool and respond after that Henderson goal. They never looked like coming back into it. And you look at when Rafael Leao got taken off. When they were readying Giroud, I was like, they must be taking Rebic off. He looks asleep.
Yeah,
he looks like he's sleeping, standing up. I used to have a friend who, when we were on nights out, fell asleep standing up at the bar.
Yeah.
If it had been a particularly long night, and Rebic reminded me of that. And by the time he came off the pitch, he had his eyes shut as he was walking off the pitch.
It's Joe Binden-esque, some people might say. But, I mean, yeah.
Sleepy Rebic.
Incredible. I quite enjoyed Divock Origi playing again in the Champions League. Lovely
he
little,
was great.
Lovely scoop for that Mo Salah goal. It was a good take from Salah. Obviously, missed the penalty. Klopp's comments were interesting about Origi. Where I forget who it was, asked him on BT Sport and said, you know, he was there. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, people sometimes forget about Origi. You know, he's a good player. And I was thinking, but are you one of those people? And he was like, you know, it's hard to get in this team and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, people forget about him. You know, we thought we were going to get a big bid in the summer for him, but, you know, it didn't happen. And so on. And I was just like, well, so you're sort of saying, yeah, well, we have to play him. He's still here because we couldn't sell him. We didn't get an offer. And it sort of seemed a bit of a strange thing to say, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Although I think coming from Klopp, who has rejuvenated Origi's career, I think it's a bit different. I think there's clearly a relationship and an understanding there of, you know, a mutual understanding. And I think Origi was going to understand where Klopp's coming from. I think the interesting thing I found with Origi yesterday was that, having not started in so long, he looked like he'd been playing, you know, 5-10 games in a row.
Well, yeah.
He's one of those players that when he's in form, he actually takes quite a lot of touches with the ball.
Yeah.
I always think back to Fernando Torres when he was at his peak for Liverpool. He was so efficient with his touches, whereas Origi is a bit more of like a caresser, like likes rolling his foot over the ball, likes kind of taking it to the left, taking it to the right, and then playing his pass. Apart from, of course, for the Salah goal, which was brilliant. You don't play that ball if you're, you know, lacking in confidence or unsure of, you know, where things are going to go. Although, I don't think it's a ball you necessarily associate with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Part of that needing several touches is not playing that often, isn't it?
No. I think
playing yourself into.
Well, he'll get a chance, won't he, when come the African Cup of Nations?
Yeah.
If you, you know, presumably still there, they don't get a big bid in for the January window.
But, I mean, when he's on form, actually, he takes loads of touches.
Right.
He doesn't get rid of, he feels more confident. I can have the ball. I can take my time over this. I can bring other people into play. Whereas I think sometimes when he plays, having not played in a while, he gets it and gives it.
Yeah.
And often he's chasing after his first touch.
Vish, I want to ask you about the Maldinis.
Yeah.
Paolo was there to watch his son Daniel to come on for his Champions League debut.
And you thought the Maldini highlight was Paolo in the stands shaking his head in the first half.
Beautiful,
he looked
men.
So disappointed.
Yeah, that was wonderful, yeah. And yeah, that very kind of like classy old man thing of he was sat on an aisle and his legs were spilling out into the aisle. He's just, yeah, class, yeah.
Yeah, very. I mean, who can't enjoy that?
Exactly.
You can't enjoy that.
It did make me think, though. You know, obviously, it was brought up in commentary a lot about how Cesare and Paolo were both Champions League winners as captains of Milan, and you know what's Daniel gonna do. But it did make me also think of like, you know, how would you deal with that kind of pressure? And I thought about like my own situation. I was like, you know, my granddad protested against a civil war in Sri Lanka. My dad also protested against the same civil war in Sri Lanka, and when it was ongoing, like. He had a motorbike, so he used to drive medicine and supplies around his village and things like that.
You were very angry about the vegan rolls and Greggs.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still really don't know the difference between pelican and zebra crossings. And I think, like, you know, I feel like I'm massively doing my family a disservice.
For the
I can't
third
imagine
generation,
the pressure of that.
For the third generation, it's all about acts of rebellion. Because I remember, like, seeing him on the touchline. I don't think I'd ever seen his forearms before. And I thought, he's got a tattoo, so... Is that the act of rebellion, or is being an attack-minded midfield player the act of rebellion?
Do you think they'll do what they used to do in the 90s? You remember when Inter and Milan would have this like agreement where, like, you know, like Helweg played for both, Seedorf played for both, didn't he? Is he going to go to Inter? The ultimate act of rebellion.
Don't do that.
Do it.
Like the Baresis, my goodness, don't do it. Apparently, Antonio Conte was commentating for Italian TV on the game. You can bet your bottom dollar he wasn't watching other games, Andy, while he was doing that. he went to the Cavern Club as well in Liverpool. Nice to know, just, you know, reliving a bit of the old, doing some Beatles numbers maybe or something.
So on the running order, this was the, he was the, so John Lennon was now reduced to the second angriest man who's been there. was John Lennon angry?
Why he stayed talking in, about protesting? I think
is that why he stayed in bed that time, because he was livid?
I mean, that was a protest. Yeah,
he didn't seem particularly angry though.
Yeah, lazy if anything.
Yeah, really. It was a
he can't
bit.
Be bothered to protest.
It was like an excuse after. Why are you in bed? Oh, I'm livid. That's why I'm still here.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But Antonio Conte, he was up and at it in the commentary box. But also, it had been disappointed in his old side Inter, who lost 1-0 at home to Real Madrid. Of course, you're talking about these heavyweight clashes, obviously Liverpool, Milan, Inter and Real Madrid. I'm glad there was a goal, because if it would have been 0-0, I don't think they'd have kept their side of the bargain.
Inter feel the same way after dominating the game and then getting absolutely mugged in the last minute.
Oh, it was an absolute flipping robbery, wasn't it? Courtois was great in goal, we should say. Gentlemen, I'd like to go on to the Etihad. Manchester City 6, RB Leipzig 3. A hat-trick, of course, for Nkunku for RB Leipzig, and it'll all be forgotten, maybe not by him, because Manchester City scored twice as many goals as that man did. It was Guardiola's 300th game in charge, and he was his usual chaotic self. Furious with Jack Grealish and Riyad Mahrez at one point. He was giving Grealish plenty, wasn't he? And I did like Grealish in the post-match interview saying, oh, well, I can't tell you what he said because we might use those tactics on the weekend. And it's like, do you just need to track back a bit more or something?
but I also like the fact that he clearly loved it.
Yes!
He clearly so enamoured that someone like Guardiola, even though they spent 100 million on him, was giving him that much attention and like so focused on changing him. And I quite like that.
Does anything faze Grealish? The 100 million price tag doesn't seem to just register. Playing in front of, you know, Wembley, the full house in those big Euro games when he's...
Leg day. Clearly loves leg day.
Loves the leg
the
day.
The worst of all the days.
Not fazed by that.
I mean, that is why England loves Jack Grealish, isn't it, though? Because he plays as if he's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
I think that's really underrated.
Oh, Andy.
I think. But it's interesting.
Well, to back up your point, after the game, he said, as soon as the game kicked off, I just thought to myself, oh, I've actually played in the Champions League before with the music and everything. It was so nice.
And he sacked it off. Like, right,
it's glorious. Got his goal as well. But yeah, who was going to say?
Yeah. What Vish was saying before about players really buzzing off that connection and, you know, that special attention, even if it is a bollocking from Guardiola. I wonder if, you know, they sort of go in there for the first day and think, please do the Gomorrah invasion of personal space on me. Please grab me by the face. I want him to grab me by the face.
Yeah.
One of the things they used to say about Sir Alex Ferguson is that you knew he stopped caring when he stopped giving you a bollocking.
Yeah, I was about to compare him to Ferguson, although I don't think you'd want the hairdryer treatment from him, would you?
But he rarely gave that out, didn't he?
Well, but that was interesting with Ferguson because he would give him a bollocking when they won. And Rooney did the same thing at Derby, apparently, he was saying on another podcast recently. That they won and they were all kind of high-fiving each other because they scored a last-minute goal. And he was like, if you think that's good enough, that you've got another thing coming and so on. And Ferguson would often do that to his teams. He would give them an absolute roasting when they'd won because it was, don't get above your station. Yeah, if you think that's good enough, I want more. But if they lost, he actually would tend not to because I think his whole thing was give them
you
responsibility.
Exactly.
You know what you've done.
Yeah. You know what you've done.
It's essentially it, really, isn't it?
Do you think Guardiola's like that?
No, I think Guardiola, whatever happens, he's a very animated, what would be the word? He'd be like a jack-in-the-box, wouldn't he? Just jumping around if they've
a
done
A tweaker, work. If you
so
will.
So do you think in terms of taking his bollockings to the next level, he needs to borrow the second part of the Pep Talks jingle?
I think so.
Bit of metal behind him.
Yeah, that would be good.
I mean, they've got enough money, Manchester City. They could probably pay Slipknot to be his house band, couldn't they?
Easily. Yes. Easily. That would be a key change, though, wouldn't it? Quite literally. But Andy, what about your mate Jesse Marsh? He was a bit fire on the touchline for RB Leipzig.
Yeah, well, he's an excitable gentleman.
He is another one.
We've seen that for a long time from his famous turn with Salzburg at Anfield when they came back from 3-0 down. You know, they're in a bit of a transitional phase. I think it'll be quite difficult for them to get out of this group, but like the attacking talent is not in doubt. But you think they've lost their two best centre halves this summer and they've got a new coach. I mean, it's a hard ask.
What do you think of Mukaleli's own goal? It's kind of like just knocked it out for a corner.
He was just trying to be too clever and head it back to Gulashi.
I totally get it, but just knock it, get it out for a corner.
Do you not think Grealish had got in his head there?
Maybe.
Because before that point, he'd taken him on both sides a few times and he was lurking at the back post. And I wonder if he thought, I have to deal with this some way.
Yeah.
And this might be the cleanest way of dealing with
it. Are you saying in the spirit of George Formby, Jack Grealish was playing that Mukaleli? Perhaps you weren't. Maybe I've put that in your head. Nice to see Phil Foden making a return from in. You just think to yourself, like, where does it end?
Yeah, what they're playing at, yeah.
Bring on Foden for the last goodness knows
how long. That's dispiriting, isn't it?
Yeah.
While they do that and Bayern Munich just bring on Sabitzer for a little cameo as well.
But even with Man City, it's kind of like, all right, keep them at arms. Like if we're reducing their defenders to 25 yard shots, that's fine. Oh, there it goes. Yeah. Cancelo smashes.
Yeah.
But with I guess Bayern and Barcelona, that is even worse because it's like this is what we've got in the cupboard.
Yeah.
What you've got in the cupboard is hardly even any crumbs.
Yeah.
Indeed. What did you think of Pep Guardiola making a plea to Manchester City fans for the game this weekend against Southampton, saying, I'd like more people to come on Saturday. We will be tired. Southampton are so dangerous. I invite all our people to come 3 p.m. to watch our game.
Well, obviously, this is super fun for a lot of opposition fans who like to take the piss out of Manchester City.
Yep.
Not selling out. I think...
It's not the first time he said something like this.
It's maybe not that well judged. I read Jack Pitbrook from The Athletic saying how there was actually a problem with a lot of season ticket holders' season cards. Mm. So that they weren't able to get in or they wouldn't have been able to get in without paying again.
Yeah.
So this was like a particular circumstance. And of course, that picture of no fans in the stand is taken from the away end.
Yeah,
and Leipzig didn't bring any, really.
No,
they brought a couple of dozen.
Yeah.
He's always had an interesting relationship with fans, I think, Guardiola. And I wonder if maybe, and like Andy, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I wonder because he's so fixated on that side of it. I think he gets the history of clubs, but I wonder if, I suppose, the dynamic of the English fan where you get unequivocal support, and to a point, English fans, you know, expect that back. And you're spot on with what you said about other people's fans thought it was enjoyable. It's exactly that kind of tweet, sorry, that quote that was tweeted out and quote retweeted and replied to by, United fans, Liverpool fans, every other damn fan in the country being like, oh, small club, no history, blah, blah, blah. The season ticket thing is always a bit of an issue because I think there was something a couple of years ago about how they wanted to change the buy-in for that. So that you basically buy your league, your group games were included in your mm-hmm. season ticket mm-hmm. or they weren't. This, that, and the other. I think that was a technical issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of clubs are having that at the moment. It's bizarre because now we've got fans back and we're delighted to have fans back. Mm-hmm. And like, I speak to a lot of fans who their club's ticket offices are completely unprepared for it. Mm. I mean, Wimbledon are playing at Arsenal next week in the Carabao Cup. They've got an allocation of 9,000 tickets. And when they initially put them on sale, there was no way to sit next to your mates. You had an allocation of one ticket and that was that.
Lucky you've got so many because but just on the law of averages, Andy, you'll end up next to one.
Yeah, if you get 7,000 of them, you'd be laughing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, shouldn't be a problem. Well, there we are. We look forward to Manchester City against Southampton with a full house at the Etihad. Of course, before we go to a break, there's a brand new episode of On the Continent out today. Dotton, Andy and Lars Sivertsen will be getting stuck into all the Champions League action from this week. What are you going to be talking about, Andy?
Well, everyone's been crying over Barcelona and their desperate struggle. Look, we've been there. We've done that. Let's move on. Let's talk about how brilliant Bayern were. We'll be going into Inter versus Real Madrid and a tricky situation unravelling in France as well.
Ooh, that'll be out later today on Football Ramble Presents. Right, it's time for a break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
All the way across, Townsend. Oh, one more. My, oh my. My sweet grandma's apple pie.
Well, what did that guy say when Townsend scored the other night? I want to know. Blimey, O'Reilly. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's time for emails.
If you've got something for us, show footballramble.com.
Ooh, indeed, Andy. Ooh, indeed.
This is from Casper Wood. It says, on Sunday, I was travelling from Amsterdam to Rome and wearing a vintage France 98 t-shirt. As I got up to use the facilities, one of the in-flight attendants said to me, love your shirt. That's the first World Cup I remember. Oh, that's nice. We started to reminisce about tournaments gone by. And it turned out he was a Liverpool fan and was going to be mid-air for the Leeds game. It happens a lot. I don't mind, as it means I can watch Match of the Day without knowing the score. dark MOTD, as it's called. Have you ever done it? He asked me. I said I managed it a few times, and it was strange he mentioned it, as I'd been listening to a podcast the other day, which was the first time I'd heard described as such. At which point, the attendant responded, "Ah, so you must be a Football Ramble fan too." Oh, so there you have it. The Ramble uniting fans across the continent at 35,000 feet, minus the horrible injury to Harvey Elliott. Of course, I'm sure Stephen enjoyed his dark MOTD experience on this occasion.
It's the new Mile High Club. That's what it is.
Oh, wow.
How about that, Vish? You're famous in the air.
What they should have done, they should have got the attendance tat on and just played the podcast through it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth getting arrested. Although I believe on a plane for.
I believe we were and maybe still are available on one or two airlines.
Yeah, I've listened to the Ramble through the in-flight entertainment system.
Before. Are you joking?
No.
It's amazing. So it's just like three episodes of How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
And the football Ramble.
And the Football Ramble.
Yeah, well, the Ramble is officially better than Just for Laughs. Yeah. I think we can say that.
Tell you that. I've got an email from Brian Kinlan. All of these football injuries pale in insignificance to the tale of Kirk Broadfoot. Who was a Rangers utility player. He was rotten, truth be told. Upcoming pun intended. He suffered an injury due to an exploding poached egg.
Oh, no.
Sounds too good to be true, but I dug out the Guardian article on this. Arguably, Rangers' greatest ever manager, Walter Smith, indeed had to confirm that his defender had suffered burns after an egg exploded in his face. Must have been up there with his 9-in-a-row winning season. Kirk Broadfoot, whose nickname by the end of his Rangers time at Rangers was Kirk Clubfoot.
Oh, no.
Which is very cruel.
Oh, Kirky.
Speaking of feet and injuries, one injury that we haven't brought up, which I still remember to this day, is Darius Vassell finding out he had a blood blister in his big toe and trying to burst it with a power drill.
Oh, yes.
And it getting infected and he missed, I think he missed a couple of weeks. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the classic one, linking the two emails together, France 98, foot injury, Santiago Canizares.
Yeah, I think Luke mentioned that on the show the other day.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were going and I thought we've already said it recently.
Dave Besant and the salad cream, similar sort of business.
Yeah. I've not watched that video, if I'm honest.
the thing is, if you're a goalkeeper and you drop someone on your foot, it's not only bad for the injury absence, it's bad for the brand. If people know that you've dropped a household item on your foot, I mean, they're not going to trust you.
So do you ever drop your phone and, you know, because you play football, five-a-side.
You try and put your foot out to stop it.
I wonder if that was it. Because I've done that a few times.
Right.
What, with Besant, he dropped the salad cream and tried to drop kick it into the next room.
Maybe he saw his sandwich making a run down the left. He tried to find it with a diag, yeah.
With a diag, come on.
It was a great playmaker goalkeeper, Dave Besant.
Oh, Andy, no one's doubting that for a moment, for crying out loud. You don't have to defend Dave Besant's honour. Here, I once sat next to him at Club Wembley and we had a lovely old time.
All your anecdotes are Club Wembley related, aren't they?
I haven't said one for years.
Always Club Wembley. Club Wembley.
You always save it for 30 seconds before we start recording, don't you? The listeners deserve to know, Marcus.
Yeah.
Show at footballramble.com. Right, back to the Champions League.
You can
League.
Send a letter in, but make sure you do send it to Club Wembley.
I haven't been for a while, Club Wembley. Get on that. Right then, you two slags. We're going back to the Champions League. Ajax thrashed Sporting Club de Portugal 5-1. Four goals from Andy's man, Sebastian Allaire. Allaire. My goodness, Andy.
I've seen the running order. It says Ajax thrash Sporting Lisbon 5-1. I think that's the sort of disrespect they deserve after losing.
Is that right?
5-1 at home. Yeah. I think that's what's intended there.
Let's just call them Lisbon for short. Okay.
Yeah.
But they were hammered. And Sebastian, what I quite liked about his four goals is within that there was a perfect hat trick.
Yeah.
Which is always enjoyable. I mean, Andy, you know, obviously he's now there. He did all right at West Ham, but obviously not enough to stick around. But it's nice to see him at Ajax scoring lots of goals in Champions League.
Yeah, and his all-round game really, really works for them. Of course, he didn't get to play in Europe last season because of an admin error.
Yeah.
They forgot to register him.
He's making up for lost time, isn't he?
Signing him. So he certainly is. It was
did he dedicate this hall to that chap?
Yeah, I think so.
Football manager admin error, isn't it?
Yes.
He looked as if he was still a bit browned off about it. It was funny. I saw the raw feed in the television studio.
You'd be right pissed off.
coming off the pitch. And when you're the UEFA player of the match now, mm-hmm. you get this kind of, it's like an art object. It's quite nice, but this sort of like metal version mm-hmm. on a plinth, a hollow metal version of the Champions League ball. And obviously he had the actual Champions League ball as well. So he was juggling those as he had to pose for photos and mm-hmm. all the rest of it.
Imagine if he dropped the award and then tried to stop it and broke his
foot. Nothing more can go wrong for him.
Yeah, that's true, actually, competition yeah. now.
But it was amazing. He turned on his lovely smile for the photos and then turned it off again. It was like, you know that meme of Kanye West when he's on he's courtside at the Golden State Warriors and he's laughing and then he sees the cameras on him and he just turns it off like that. It was the reverse of that. It quite creeped me out.
So it's funny you said Golden State Warriors because I was thinking immediately about remembering Chris Paul and yeah. Steve Kerr having a chat and I think Steve Kerr says a joke and Chris Paul tends to laugh and turns away and he's like, fuck's sake.
Save it for the basketball round. Yeah. Did you hear, and Vish, you'll be gutted about this, UEFA have banned Ajax from wearing the Three Little Birds icon on the back of their Bob Marley-inspired third kit.
Why is that? What are the exact reasons? Is it because it's publicising something else?
Well, I'll tell you. It is apparently in breach of Article 7, Paragraph 19.01 of the UEFA Equipment Regulations. Strap yourselves in, everybody. This states that the collar zone can only be used for team identifications. And the statement says, the three birds being a tribute to Bob Marley's song do not represent a team identification. Therefore, the display of the birds together with the crosses was not approved for UEFA competitions. You learn something every day, don't you?
You know what? I would say that does sound like incredible officiousness, but I think that Ajax have maybe not argued their corner that well. Ooh. Because, of course, the reason that Three Little Birds is their anthem is, as everyone knows, since their fans were locked in after that game at Cardiff and they all started singing it in the away end mm-hmm. when the DJ started playing it. But of course, you could say the Three Little Birds relates to those three crosses that are the symbol of Amsterdam. You know, the three consecutive crosses that are the symbol of the city. Toby Alderweireld, for example, has it tattooed on his upper arm.
Does he really?
Yeah.
But you just explaining it now UEFA know that that's not the case. You've used
Have
their
I talked myself into the Ajax legal department?
I think you have a little bit. But then you've also talked about the case because you've given away the you've shown your hand here, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've messed that up now.
UEFA are listening to this now, being like, right, we know where they're going to come. Well,
yeah, right, we're prepared for that argument. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone need salad cream?
Yeah. Don't drop it. Right then, from Three Little Birds to Who Shot the Sheriff?
Yes!
Because nobody did. They couldn't be gunned down, could they, Andy? Because they made their tournament debut and they beat the mighty Shakhtar Donetsk 2-0. 2-0, Andy. A clean sheet. It is a fairy tale story, isn't it, Andy?
They beat the proper Shakhtar as well, replete with their, you know, the requisite eight Brazilians in the starting lineup. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you want to say that it's a real fairy tale? Or...
you explain...
or do you want to say that it's a huge wonderful blow for Moldova? Yeah. Which one of those things do you want to go with?
As there is no such thing as absolute truths anymore, Andy. All of that can be true and relative and so on and so
forth. We've got to give it up for Transnistria. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, Andy, look, remind people who maybe didn't hear you explain about Sheriff before why it may not be the fairy tale that people think.
Well, of course, they've won 19 out of the last 21 Moldovan leagues.
I mean, consistent. You can't blame them for that. Yeah. You can only beat what's put in front of you.
Yeah. Or when Juventus do it. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think it was Nick Ames wrote about it in The Guardian this week. And also Nick Miller wrote about it for the Athletic. Mm. But worth seeking out if you don't know about their background and political situation. I thought the way that Nick Miller put it, actually, mm-hmm. in that when they played a team recently in a league game, so a perceived equal at least, mm-hmm. the away team parked their coach tucked behind the back of the main stand, and they have incredible facilities at Sheriff. They've just built a new training complex. And the reason that the away team tucked their team bus hidden out of sight behind the back of the main stand is because it's the only thing that the club owned.
Right.
They didn't own anything else, which shows that it's hardly sort of
and who does equal who does own stuff around there in this unrecognised state, unrecognised.
Well, no, this was obviously a team that self-identifies as Moldovan, the away team.
Oh, okay.
Whereas they don't, Sheriff and their backers don't recognise self-recognise as being Moldovan. They would say they're from Transnistria, even though that's not recognised.
Yeah.
Outside of its boundaries. They did an incredible sucker punch job on Shakhtar, who's such an experienced team, of course, who knocked out Monaco in the playoff rounds, although they're pretty lucky to do so. And Sheriff, having never been, no Transnistrian or Moldovan team has been in the group stage before. And they had, what, 20% possession in the second half? Shakhtar had all the shots and they just picked them off on the break.
Lovely first goal as well, you got so. Good
yeah,
volley.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good volley. There we are. But do check that out, ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested. There was a draw in Brugge, as it's properly pronounced, Andy, I believe. Because we've always said Club Bruges, haven't we? But
it's Brugge. Because of that, it's Colin Farrell's fault, isn't it?
No, people were saying it well before that, when Rangers played them, for example, in the European Cup or Champions League. I forget what it was called back then in the early 90s. But yeah, they drew one all with Paris Saint-Germain. And Neymar, Kylian Mbappe and Lionel Messi started together for the first time. And yet they couldn't even win the game, Vish, could they?
Who just would have thought Messi, it was going to be a clunky fit?
Messi got a yellow.
Three inanimate objects.
Yeah, indeed. Michael Owen says he thinks Messi might make PSG weaker. Now, if anyone else had said
and he
that,
definitely hasn't seen in Bruges.
No, that's if anyone else said that, I think, okay, go on. But poor old Michael.
But Michael says, okay, go on, yeah. Move on, yeah, right.
But did you think he's got a point, Andy? There's a potential that, I mean, you've just sort of said that, you know, trying to fit in too many of these players. It's a bit of a conundrum's not the word. It's a headache that he would want, Pochettino.
It would be a headache that a lot of coaches would want. I'm not convinced it's a headache that Pochettino would want if he's honest to himself. He likes players with energy who press. He's never going to get that out of his front three. And funnily enough, the most active of them was Kylian Mbappe, who set up the opening goal for Ander Herrera and then got injured and had to go off. But a lot has been made in the French newspapers of how Neymar almost exclusively wanted to find Messi. And, you know, it's something that obviously is very much a germane topic in terms of French football, because they've had this difficulty in fitting together in the national team Mbappe, Griezmann and Benzema. And again, when Mbappe was out injured in the last qualifier when they played against Finland and they played the best they've played in ages, it's because the other two had their private party without Mbappe. So maybe going forward, because Mbappe might be out for a week or two, it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. And obviously that might be a more permanent situation next season if he goes.
We shall see, Andy. We shall see. Let's finish the Champions League chat with Besiktas losing at home to Dortmund 2-1.
Jude
Bellingham scored the opener. He really is full of beans, that lad, isn't he? I love how he, talking of Grealish not being fazed by stuff, just the way he sort of cupped his ear to the home crowd when he scored that goal, chest out. He's like, go on, Judy boy.
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes him so brilliant, I think.
Yeah, he's fearless, isn't he?
Yeah, like I'm so impressed. Every time I watch him, I'm so impressed about how much he wants it. Like everything. He wants the ball. He wants the minute. He wants the acclaim from his own fans. You know, he does at the West Stadion. He goes around and rouses a crowd before kickoff, and he does that.
Yep.
If you're going away to you know, a team in Turkey, rile the crowd would be quite low down that list. Isn't it? And he doesn't give a shit, does he?
Like, no.
He wants all of that, and he just plays with such maturity. Even the relationship that he struck up with Erling Haaland, like. I don't know Erling Haaland at all as a person, but generally people of that ilk, you have to work hard to earn their respect.
Yeah.
And Haaland already seems to adore him, which to me is like a huge tick in the box.
To the point of he even gave him a little kiss in
the
post-match interview.
Cheeky little peck, yeah.
Yeah, Andy.
I was into the chest bump. That was the one, really.
Very good.
I mean, but that's what you're going to get from Haaland. And like, was it with Royce that he always chokes him? Is that was the...
To get a chest bump from Haaland and not get flattened.
Oh, I see.
I think that's quite impressive, because the thing that always strikes me about Bellingham, and I think I've maybe said it on here before, is the fact that it's not just the intrinsic quality. It's the fact that he does not look in any way like a teenager. Mm. And he plays football in the nicest possible way, like someone who's played a lot of Sunday League.
Mm. There's no
sense of, like, you know, I'm a big star from a big academy. It's like, right, come on, lads, game today. Let's get it won. Still 0-0. You can imagine him doing all that at the halfway line when they're kicking off again. And I think it was Thorgan Hazard who said at the very beginning when he made his debut at the start of last season in the German Cup. And he just went, you're not a kid, are you?
A lot of people say, a lot of his teammates, his England teammates have said that apparently about him in conversation. Like, his level of conversation is beyond what you'd expect someone who has had similar experiences to them, in that at that age they didn't really have much appreciation of the wider world. Maybe the move to Germany has helped that to an extent, but they always comment about how, like, they have to remind themselves that he's actually the kid. Like, in another era he'd be cleaning their boots rather than running things in midfield.
Totally, I think
you have to give credit to Birmingham as well.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah.
Because, you know, clearly Bellingham's an exceptional talent, but if you look at Nathan Redmond, for example, who came out of the same academy, very grown up, very able to deal with stuff early on.
Mm. It's all about Birmingham. See, Grealish, Bellingham, they don't give a damn, and it works, Andy. It bloody well works. I see Miralem Pjanic as well, by the way, playing last night. He always pops up somewhere, doesn't he?
Lovely little cross.
Yeah,
I think possibly, though, he's always clearing his sinuses when he's taking a free kick. I don't think I've seen anyone put that many snotters on the pitch since Brian McClair.
Oh,
he's got quite a small nose, though, hasn't he?
All right, let's move on from
this. No, he's got a small nose.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Marcus, give the people what they want.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's what a political party in Turkey is trying to do, Andy. They said, apparently the Turkish Change Party said it will remove the offside rule if they come into power. I don't know if they're aware of FIFA and
leader Mehmet Van Basten
and all that sort of stuff. But yes, the chairman has said we have to remove it. We want innovation and change. I mean, what are IFAB and FIFA? Are they up for comment on this?
No, but I don't think they should be. I think Turkey's always seemed to be a law unto itself in terms of football. They just get anyone and everyone. The announcement videos. They're breaking new ground. I reckon, honestly, let them do it.
Let's be honest. They're not going to get voted in, are they? And I'll leave that there.
Also, I like the idea that, like, that's what people want. People don't want offside. People want goal hangers.
Exactly. I don't know. Maybe from Darius Vassell's time in Turkey, I think Darius will definitely want the offside rule.
Yeah.
The aforementioned. Maybe that's it. Gentlemen.
How many years do you think that could add onto a striker's? Like, I mean, Philippe Nzonke immediately out of retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's back.
Maybe you remove the offside rule Brassel. With a power drill.
Good point.
They can try, Andy. They can certainly try.
You could unscrew VAR, couldn't you?
Indeed. Gentlemen, I'll talk briefly about the Championship. Obviously, there was so much Champions League action, so much happening. We don't have as much time as perhaps we would have liked to talk about it. But, you know, Fulham still kicking ass, obviously, going to win the league. Harry Wilson, another goal. Mitrovic is there, tick all those boxes. Scott Parker, ex-Fulham man, doing well at Bournemouth. There we go. But sadly, Chris Hughton's got the boot. From Nottingham Forest, relieved of his duties by Nottingham Forest this morning after they lost their sixth game in seven Championship games yesterday. I mean, it's a bit of a funny situation at Forest as well. The results do speak for themselves. It's a shame because we like Chris Hughton, Vish, don't we?
Yeah, but I think we said it on the show when he got appointed in October of last year that we basically played Chris Hughton bingo. Nice guy, really lovely to deal with. Yes. I think Jules was on the time. Obviously, he'd been at Brighton and dealt with him before. Lovely man, good coach, limited as a manager. And I think it seems like, there's obviously this has been really challenging situations at Nottingham Forest. It's an incredible story. Daniel Taylor wrote a big piece about it. Mm-hmm. He wrote a big piece about it a week ago. And in the piece itself, he wrote, you know, by the time some of you are reading this, he might have been sacked already.
Yeah.
But this is how much of a mess it is.
Yeah.
I think it's their worst start in 108 years.
Well, does it not feel a bit Koeman at Barcelona?
No.
In that maybe it's not the perfect coach, but changing the coach isn't really going to make any difference to the direction in which a club is going.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And so Nick Miller, second shout out for Nick Miller here, he tweeted when he got the appointment on October the 6th, 2020, Chris Hughton is too pure a soul for Forest. Him taking his inevitable dismissal in 9 months' time with quiet dignity is going to make the whole process even more heartbreaking. And he replied to it this morning, Lasted nearly a year in the end. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I think that's generally how Forest fans... I mean, Miller is a Forest fan, but that's generally how Forest fans are taking it. They're just... Mm. Yeah, it just seems to be one after the other.
Yeah, they haven't won a league game since the start of April, which is quite damning. And, I mean, you would worry for them, for their championship safety this season, you know, so... I don't know. It's a bit of a shame. Bit of a shame. But I don't want to end on a bad note, everybody, because one man who's still in a job...
I knew we were going to do this. It always comes up.
Do you really need me and Vish for this, or can we just go now?
Yeah.
I want you to eat your words, Andy, because you
this
were very...
This could be pre-recorded, couldn't it?
You were very disruptive. Well, the way the results are going, it could be. Unless anybody has been living under a rock. Into Miami got another win this week, didn't they?
Do you know what, Marcus? My opinion has changed.
Absolutely. That's enough. That's all we need from you,
since
Andy.
Since TK Maxx have started knocking out cheap Inter Miami tracksuit bottoms.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
there we go. What a win, though, for Inter Miami this week. Another cup final, another trophy in the bag. They've got an enormous amount of silverware, Andy. But really, they are on the march for the MLS Cup. I forget how it works in America. Well, you've got to go through like rounds of playoffs and then MLS Cup, something like that.
Ryan Shawcross's Pink and Black Army, I think they're singing.
Yes, well, if they're not, they should. Well, no, Fizz's Pink and Black Army.
Fizz's Pink and Black Army.
he's turning the ship around. They're up to eighth? They were way down, and you can't deny the results.
I mean, they're up to eighth in the Eastern Conference, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's yeah, it's definitely better than I genuinely thought he'd be sacked by now, if you can be sacked by one of your good mates.
Mm-hmm.
He's put you on a lot of money, so, you know, there's issues over compensation.
Beckham sack him if he was going to sack him? Would it be like the time the Verve got rid of their lead guitarist by disbanding and then reuniting the next week and just not calling him?
Yeah, we're going elsewhere, Fizz. Like, you bought this place in Miami, haven't you? Yeah, we're going to the other side.
He'd get
of the
Gary to do it, wouldn't he? He'd be like, Gary, can you do a
he'd
job?
Do it quite he'd do it.
Philip,
in quite
come back to Manchester immediately.
He'd do it in quite a distracting way. He'd be like, you know, in wedding videos where they film the groom like getting ready before, he'd do that in front of. He'd put on a suit in front of Fizzer, and Fizzer would be too distracted by just the sexiness of a man putting on a suit. And be like, I just sat, by the way, and then leave.
Yeah, there we are. What a way to end the show, ladies and gentlemen. On tomorrow's show, I am back in the chair with Jim and Vish again.
We'll bring the power drill.
Oh, absolutely. It means you'll be playing Marcus's game tomorrow against Jim.
Is that the manager one?
Well, we'll decide, won't we? Might do mascots.
much easier. Is it going to be like Pete?
Tune in tomorrow, everybody, to find out.
I might not come in tomorrow, but it's going to be like when I did it with Pete.
I don't want to fix the democratic process, but Chaddy only represented Oldham.
Yeah.
Chaddy the owl.
Damn right.
One.
Damn right. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitushan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom,
I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.